I'm tracking severe storms causing flash flooding and frequent lightning moving across the area right now.
Then that heavy rain putting homeowners on edge and streets underwater. We'll show you which areas saw nearly 4 inches of rain in just hours. Plus, from premium food and drinks to accommodations for sports betting, a first look at the more than 70 renovation projects that could be coming to revamp PNC Arena.
Let's talk about this weather. Right now it's 7 o'clock. Scattered storms can be seen throughout our area as we take a live look at the dual Doppler 5000. A lot of the activity Fayetteville and south of that. Thanks for being with us tonight. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. Take a look at these pictures out of Lewisburg today. I mean, look at these lightning strikes. Incredible shots of the severe weather we've had today. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Kat, how is it looking for the rest of the evening?
I think it's looking better, Ashley. I know it's a Friday night. A lot of people want to get outside and do stuff with family and friends. And for the most part, things have really quieted down. We do still have a few areas of showers and storms to our west, so we could see some more isolated activity push in from the west and some showers in southern Cumberland County. But really, the bulk of the thunderstorm activity is right along the North Carolina-South Carolina line. And the focus of most of these storms will stay south of our viewing area through the evening and tonight. So it's only about a 30% chance of a storm through the evening. Still, any more rain, even if just one of those isolated storms pops up, could pose a threat given how much rain we've already seen today. Some of the bullseye, the heaviest rain in yellow here, and this is southern Granville County, closer to Youngsville in Franklin County, Wake Forest area, and up into northern Sampson County. That's 4 to 6 inches of rain there in yellow. A lot of areas in red too, showing over 2.5 inches of rain. So it has been a soaking for many of us throughout the day today. Because of that, a flood watch remains in effect for most of our viewing area through midnight, just because any little amount of rain wouldn't move out very fast, and it could pose a threat with the grounds already being saturated. Futurecast continues to show some showers around Cumberland County, Sampson County as we move toward 8 o'clock, and we'll watch for some of that activity to our west to try to push into the area, but things should really quiet down tonight, and it will not be a repeat of the overnight showers and storms we had last night. I'll have a closer look at a new tropical system that developed today coming up.
Okay, Kat, thank you. Mark?
We can finally report some good news out there on the roads. There is just one real issue out there, and this is off to our east, right? This picture shows you what it looks like. This is 64 at Lizard Lick Road. You can see a couple of the vehicles. Looks like they lost control and got tangled up there in the center. So there are some delays both directions, east and west, and we're seeing that on the traffic maps right now, just updating these here at 702. This is the area we're talking about, so not too far from Zebulon. If your evening drive takes you either direction out that way here, you could see some slowdowns out on the roads. But finally, a lot of that rain pushing out of the area in terms of right now. Back to you.
You bet, Mark. Thank you. Flash flooding, though, forced the state DOT to shut down two roads in Sampson County. We're told that area near Spivey's Corner saw about 4 inches of rain in just a couple of hours. The water ended up rushing over about a half dozen roads there. It also flooded the yards of several homes off of Highway 13 near Spivey's Corner. Three vehicles were up to their hubcaps in water. Take a look at some of this video. And that flash flooding, of course, caught several people by surprise.
Did the water get in the house?
No, sir, it didn't get in the house, but I'm afraid if it starts back raining again, I don't know what's going to happen. I might just have to leave.
Nerve-wracking to watch that water rise towards your home. The two roads that were closed were Roanoke Road and Straw Pond Road. The state DOT saying that those roads should reopen, but not until that water flowing over them recedes. Now, while you head out this evening and this weekend, download the WRAL weather app to make sure that you are up to date. You can get alerts right to your phone if rain or storms move into your area.
A new and improved PNC Arena could be on the horizon. The Centennial Authority Committee heard some of the proposed changes today, including the creation of a brand new VIP club. Fans could also look forward to expanded retail options and a revamped premium food and drink setup. WRAL's Shelley Jackson was at today's meeting where 78 ideas were outlined.
The 24-year-old PNC Arena is home to the Hurricanes and NC State's men's basketball team, and the plans to revamp it have been 10 years in the making. One thing they didn't have a decade ago, accommodations for sports betting, which recently passed the state legislature. More than 70 proposed improvements were presented to the Centennial Authority's Building and Construction Committee.
Now we're on a fast track to try to get a lot of this done as quickly as possible. But it's months, not days.
Jeff Merritt, executive director of the Centennial Authority, says several criteria will be considered as the board narrows down the final projects.
What works best for the arena, what's going to keep us a world-class facility, what'll enhance the fan experience, but what'll also bring more events here.
The dozens of proposals include a restroom refresh, high-top tables at the Champions Club, and luxury box seating.
It's a 24-year-old building. They've kept up the bones of the structure pretty well.
WRAL's investigative sports reporter Brian Murphy has covered PNC Arena and attended today's public meeting.
What they haven't done is add sort of the enhancements that modern concert goers or modern sports fans want to see.
And fans agree.
I think perhaps with the expansion of the different activities that are going to be here, it's probably warranted that they do a little bit of renovation.
So there's no price tag for the project yet. If approved, it will be paid for with a hospitality tax. And of course, the Raleigh City Council and the Wake Board of Commissioners have to sign off. Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Raleigh.
This is video you've seen on our air several different times. Dangerous video, dirt bikes and ATVs swerving in and out of traffic on busy roads. These have plagued Durham for more than a year now. And tonight, police are cracking down on that dangerous driving. They're recommending that other drivers try to stay out of the way of those reckless drivers. Of course, I'm sure you're already thinking the same. But also to report that activity when you see it. DPD also says they created an online form for residents to submit photos and videos.
It's not just about people in uniforms or with badges kind of pounding the pavement. It's a partnership in the truest sense between those who serve us on the front line and residents and citizens.
State law says that some of these vehicles aren't even allowed to be on public roads at all. Dirt bikes, for instance, are street legal, but only if they abide by the same laws motorcycles do. And that includes having a rear view mirror, headlamps, and an odometer and speedometer.
Today, Congresswoman Deborah Ross spoke on the House floor about gun violence, and she praised the Raleigh Police Department for its gun violence prevention efforts.
I'm proud that the Raleigh Police Department is leading the charge through education, awareness, and prevention. June was Gun Violence Awareness Month, but the call for action shouldn't end then. Today and every day, we must work together to end gun violence once and for all.
Ross mentioned the mass shooting in Raleigh's Headingham community that left five people dead and two others wounded back in October. She says that day, Raleigh joined the long line of American communities forever changed by a mass shooting.
Vietnamese automaker VinFast is now closer to starting construction of an electric vehicle factory right here at this spot in Chatham County. WRAL obtaining a site plan that gives us a first look at the future factory. VinFast submitted the plan to the county this week. It lays out how massive this factory will be, covering more than 2.8 million square feet on the that cleared land we showed you off the top in Moncure. It will have production buildings similar to what we showed you in Vietnam when we traveled there to cover it last year. Right now, the county is reviewing the site plan, which will likely be done in a few weeks.
To get these first few steps in and really seeing on paper what the project looks like really helps shape our understanding of what the landscape's going to look like and understand what impacts there may be and how we can accommodate for those impacts in the surrounding area.
We're also talking to VinFast, and they tell us it plans to start construction this summer. The company has pushed back that timeline, as you might know, for when they expect to start vehicle production at that factory from 2024. It is now 2025.
If you're driving through Clayton this weekend, be prepared to take a detour. Drivers trying to get from U-70 West to Interstate 40 West will be rerouted as work continues on the Complete 540 project. Crews plan to finish new ramps between 10 p.m. tonight and early Monday morning. Drivers will take a detour down NC 42 West to access I-40 West. The effects of wildfires can go much further than just hazy air.
Coming up, an inside look at this week's On the Record and how wildfires can have a serious impact on your health.
Plus, a national training program for first responders made its return to Raleigh. After the break, a look at how the Disaster Medical Specialist training event is benefiting fire and EMS personnel.
North Carolina. Carolina's longest-serving Speaker of the House won't seek another term in that position. State Representative Tim Moore had said previously that he would not seek that leadership role again, and he repeated that again today. Moore has said, has not said, whether he will run for his seat again, only that he will not seek that Speaker's seat. In a text to WRAL, he said his focus right now is passing a budget, then he will weigh future options.
In Johnston County, Novo Nordisk will look to next steps for expansion outside Clayton. The company bought more than 100 acres of land for nearly $7 million. Next Monday, Johnston County commissioners will consider a rezoning request to let the company operate on the land. Novo Nordisk is one of the country's largest employers since arriving nearly three decades ago. In Person County, more money could soon come to the Museum of History. That's in Roxborough. County commissioners will discuss the museum's funding during next Monday's meeting. The museum wants $20,000 for basic operations and security upgrades. They used a chunk of last year's funds to improve different facilities. It's just a discussion for now. A vote will come later.
In an event of a major disaster, hopefully we don't deal with one, but we know they come from time to time, first responders in Wake County will be ready. This morning, Raleigh Fire hosted a disaster medical specialist training event at the Keter Training Center. The training involved fire and EMS from our area, as well as people across North Carolina and other states.
Because it takes a team to do this. So there's firefighters, paramedics, all the way up to physicians taking this course to again, be prepared to take medicine to where it's needed.
This is the first time in more than 10 years that this national training program has taken place here in our state of North Carolina.
Those Canadian wildfires that have impacted the air we breathe in North Carolina have now burned 23 million acres, about the size of South Carolina. Here at home, we could not only be feeling more effects from that, but also North Carolina is at increased risk of wildfires here. And all that smoke impacts our health in more ways than we know. That's the focus of tomorrow's On the Record. The Raleigh skyline blotted out by wildfires in another country. Smoke from Canada's wildfires impacting more than 100 million Americans from North Dakota to Chicago to D.C.
My eyes are stinging and I'm trying to protect my breathing from particulate matter.
Yes, it is code red, so I think we should all take that seriously.
And the fires are still burning. Smoke, particulate matter, repeatedly drifting to North Carolina, the air you breathe.
Even if you think that you're a great athlete or you're very healthy and young, you still want to take care.
And with smoke particles absorbing other pollution as they move, what's really going into our lungs?
Millions of people around the world die early because of particle pollution, even tens of thousands here in the United States.
Are air quality standards strong enough to protect us? We tackle the science, the policy, and how climate change fits into future air quality as we go On the Record.
And On the Record airs tomorrow at 7 p.m. What an issue to tackle. I mean, this affected so many people. Me personally, after this last bout of these wildfires, I sincerely noticed a difference in my breathing and I was coughing. Who is spearheading, though, the questions about our standards for air quality?
There are numerous organizations that are doing that. For one, Moms Clean Air Force. This is a national organization of more than a million people. Also, one that's probably familiar to you at home, the American Lung Association. Dan, the EPA is proposing changes to the existing air quality standards. These organizations that I just mentioned say they don't go far enough. In fact, the EPA told me that they are currently reviewing nearly 700,000 public comments. Here's especially why this is relevant to us in North Carolina. The state is seeing increases in fire weather days. It also has a huge number of homes that edge up against a natural forested area. It's called the Wild Urban Interface. This is a map from FEMA. It shows North Carolina ranking fourth in the country for the most number of houses in the Wildland Urban Interface.
So again, we just saw the wildfire smoke. Of course, that was a big national story. When we aren't seeing an event like that, what is our air quality typically like? Is it something we should be concerned about on a regular basis?
You know, the numbers, at least the numbers that the state is telling me, say that we are faring quite well. I want to show you this. Look at the significant drop in emissions across North Carolina in 2020 compared to 1990. According to state figures, sulfur dioxide, the stuff that comes from burning fossil fuels, down 94%. Fine particulates, down 52%. Hazardous and toxic air pollutants, down 79%. So these are good numbers. It is important to know, though, though 2020, obviously a lot of us were staying home. It was the year of COVID. But here's another sign of encouragement. Since 2001, the amount of toxic air emissions in our state have decreased by more than 114.5 million pounds. So hard to visualize, but yeah. You know, these are encouraging numbers.
I was afraid you were going to have some scary numbers for me.
So yeah. Don't go outside.
Exactly.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. I'm glad that things are looking good.
Tomorrow we're going to be joined by a representative from the state's Department of Environmental Quality. He's going to break down those numbers for us. And you know, what I want to know is if the pollution that's come from the smoke from the wildfires in Canada is offsetting all of these gains that we made in the fight for stronger air quality. So we're going to ask that question tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
All right, tune in. So this weekend you have a rare chance to visit a local garden that's home to some unusual plants from all across the world.
The Juniper Level Botanic Garden is opening for 2 weekends only. You'll be able to see all kinds of things, including century plants, a corpse plant, and unique trees. The garden is south of Garner on Sauls Road. It'll be open tomorrow 8 to 5 and Sunday from 9 to 5, same hours next weekend. We're looking at rain now, but keep the heat atop top your mind as you're making your weekend plans and even plans for next week as well. Sure. The state released new numbers.
Yeah, the heat can be dangerous. We all know that. From May 1st through July 8th, nearly 1,100 people across the state have made heat-related trips to the emergency room. 424 of those came just last week when we had both the 4th of July holiday and very significant heat.
Meteorologist Kat Campbell, you have been focusing a whole lot on the heat as well as these storms, and I know that you're tracking some very hot weather and humid, muggy weather next week.
Yes, and we're just going to see the heat continue to build across the area. That humid, tropical-feeling air sticks with us as well. But when we look at the tropics, there's something happening now. It's been a nice little break while we had it. The good news is subtropical storm Dawn is going to stay out to sea, only impacting the fish. But I wanted to bring up Dawn. This is the reason why we have a D-named storm. It developed. It's just not going to impact any land. And the reason why it's called subtropical instead of tropical, it's kind of a blend, a hybrid between a normal low-pressure system and a typical tropical system. They get their energies from different sources. So just keep that in mind. It's really not going to matter because it just does a little loop and eventually fizzles out. Your beach forecast for the weekend, not impacted by Dawn. We are expecting some scattered showers and storms, though, at the coast tomorrow. So keep that in mind. Highs in the mid to upper 80s and mid 80s to possibly near 90 in New Bern by Sunday. There will be another chance for some scattered storms on Sunday. So let's take a wide view of what we expect to happen over the weekend. Tomorrow, late morning, we could see a shower, but I'm not expecting the active morning weather pattern that we saw this morning. By lunchtime into the afternoon, storms really begin to fire up, and we may see a line of storms try to congeal to our west by tomorrow evening. That could push in tomorrow night. So stay tuned for updates on that tomorrow. But bottom line, there's likely to be some showers and storms on the radar. Sunday, maybe a little bit less, but there's still going to be some thunderstorm activity as that front approaches. It never fully passes, more than likely. It's just going to kind of fizzle out across the state. Still, we have a quieter pattern once that front fizzles out. We just don't have a front nearby to help trigger those showers and storms. So by Monday, the chance is down to 30% that you would see a shower or storm, 95 the high, because you're just not going to have as much rain to help cool you down on Monday. Looking at the dual Doppler 5000 radar, the bulk of the rain is to our south and west at this point. We are still tracking some of these thunderstorms to our west that I mentioned off the top of the newscast. We've got that one, the one moving into Davie County, the one up here in Virginia. These are moving to the east very slowly. If they're able to hold together after sunset, we could see some impacts, heavy rain from them. They're not severe at this point, though. So we expect the severe weather threat to continue to die down. Still the potential, though, for some showers and storms tonight. That chance, though, continues to decline. And by midnight, we expect to be mainly dry. Looking ahead to next week, mid-90s in the forecast across the board Monday through Friday. We should have a stretch of high temperatures right around 95, 96. Not many showers and storms out there to help cool you down next week either, Ashley and Dan.
Yeah, it's going to be hot. All right. Thanks, Kat. So it is set to be a very busy weekend across the Triangle.
Coming up, we'll share some family fun events taking place if you're planning to go out and about.
I like that music.
It's great music.
Yeah, it gets me all, gets me fired up.
Get you fired up, for the weekend?
Ready to go out and about. Yeah, exactly.
Live music, movies, food truck, you can have it all. Yeah. And you can even bring that music with you, Dan.
If you want, let's talk about the best bets for your out and about activities this weekend. So if you are in the Wake Forest area, their Friday Night on White series continues tonight. The Brick House Band is playing live. It's on White Street. There'll be plenty of food and drink and dessert options available. Friday Night on White happens on the second Friday of each month through summer. And it looks fun, doesn't it?
The movie series Summer at the Station kicks off tonight on Civic Plaza at Raleigh's Union Station. The feature presentation tonight, Disney Pixar's Coco. I love this movie.
Coco.
There are food trucks, ice cream, market vendors, as well as a bar for parents. Mm-hmm. If you are interested, though, you've got to get over there in about a half hour. That's when the movie starts, 8 o'clock.
Oh, man, Coco's a good one. You can head out to the Durham Central Park on Sunday. There's the NC Food Truck Rodeo. There will be about 30 different food trucks out there to try. Not just all about the food, though. There's going to be games and entertainment, bounce houses for the kids, a water slide because you know it's going to be hot. The fun starts at 11 o'clock. It runs all day, all the way until 8 p.m. You can go to WREL.com, click on that Out and About tab for more on all of these events and a lot of other things going on around town.
You know what else is going on this weekend?
This would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the big old jackpots. Lottery jackpots climbing again. Tonight's Mega Millions drawing, the seventh largest jackpot in Mega Millions history.
We'd have lots of out and about options with this kind of money. More than $500 million are up for grabs. No one matched all the numbers since April. Right now, that pot is estimated at $560 million. If you win and you take that cash option, it's a little more than $280 million in the bank. You can watch the drawing live right here on WRAL. That's tonight at 11 o'clock. And if you don't win the Mega Millions, don't get discouraged. You still got the Powerball.
The jackpot sits at an estimated $875 million. That could still grow before the drawing. You can watch this drawing tomorrow night at 11 on WRAL.
Well, hey, good luck. Let us know if you win. Thanks for joining us all this week here on WRAL.
Have a great weekend. Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Good night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.